Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, and good morning. This is Erica Sandberg. Welcome into Adventures with Money, all about the amazing aspects of how to use your finances in ways that are going to make you incredibly happy. And one of those ways, I have to say, is becoming an owner, or in some cases, if you want to call it a guardian or a companion, of an animal. Dogs, cats, you know, whatever it is that you want to bring into your home, they're expensive. They certainly can be. I have cats. I've had dogs in the past. But, you know, let's face it, they don't come without quite a number of costs. I'm sure everybody out there, you know, you look around your home and you think, well, what is it that goes into the expenses of having an animal? And whether it's food or vet care, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And the older they get, the more expensive they get. But the good side, of course, is that it definitely having a dog. You know, cats are a little bit more independent. They tend to be anyway. But owning a dog can have this incredible positive impact on your life, which is, to me, you know, it's enhancing your very existence. So in a moment, I'm going to introduce my guest today, who's going to tell us exactly how much, but having a dog can make us happier, can enhance our lives. Now, dogs absolutely can sense when we're down. They comfort us. You don't see a person walking into a nursing home with a cat, usually. It's a dog. They make us healthier. We have to walk them, and that's something that's really great. Hey, you know, if you have a dog, and maybe you can actually give up your gym membership. You have to go walking with a dog. My neighbor used to have a dog, and I'm a big runner. Just knowing that this dog was locked up in his apartment would drive me nuts. So I would knock on his door, and I'd say, you know, I'll be happy to go walk your dog, and I'd go take him for a run. It actually forced me to go out there and run a little bit more. But there are costs involved. So this is why I'm excited to have Travis Brorson on the show today. So in 2008, Travis and his canine best friend, Presley, they were selected from more than 20,000 owner and dog pairs to compete on CBS's national dog training competition, Greatest American Dog. So with Presley being only 14 months old, a puppy, producers felt that it was unlikely that they could advance past the very first week. But Las Vegas gave them less than 10% chance to win after the first week. But each week, Travis and Presley were pushed to the limits and challenged in every way imaginable. Travis realized that if he created a positive learning environment for Presley and then focused on building a bond and a relationship with the dog, they might actually have a chance. So each challenge in the competition was based on friendship and kindness, caring, trust, all that good stuff. The competition went on, and Presley surprised Travis with his willingness to learn and obey. So in the end, it was a bond that they created that helped them beat everybody, all the odds. They became the winners and the current title holders of CBS's dog training competition, Greatest American Dog. So obviously this guy is a complete expert. He knows dogs. He works with rescue dogs. And he is also going to help us determine what it costs, how to reduce the expenses. So on that note, welcome in, Travis.
Hi, Erica. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So let's talk a little bit how you got started. So before 2008, you were not even a dog trainer. So how did you even become to be chosen for the show?
Well, it's a great question. I actually grew up on a farm and ranch in Oklahoma, and so I grew up around all kinds of animals. You know, you name it, we had it at some point. I was big in the 4-H and FFA, so I had everything from pigs and chickens and horses and dogs and, of course, cats. But the one thing that was new to me when I moved to Los Angeles after graduating college was having an indoor pet. My family was very much like, you know, no indoor pets. They belong outside. That's the way it is. And that was kind of my mentality growing up. So, of course, when I moved to Los Angeles after graduating, I, of course, decided I did not want to drive a tractor for the rest of my life, which I think my parents would still welcome me home at any time. I moved off to Hollywood to be an actor, and that was when I realized not only do pets live in the houses, but they're carried in purses and bags and backpacks. Anything you could imagine was definitely an eye-opener for me. But that's kind of where I got started. I moved to Los Angeles to be an actor in the first 4 years of living out there. You know, went to acting class and did all the things that everybody does when they, you know, decide to make the leap to be an actor. And I was fortunate enough after 4 years to get some really great roles on actually some TV shows that you probably have seen over the years.
Oh, do tell.
Oh, sure. Well, I was in the second season of Desperate Housewives. That was back when it was the number one show on TV. So that was,
oh my
that
gosh,
was really great. Yeah, and then this is probably definitely my parents and grandparents' show, but JAG that ran for 10 seasons. I was in the last season of JAG right before it went off the air. So, so that was great. And then I was on the season finale of Bones, season 5, and then a handful of commercials and TV, you know, a couple movies and stuff like that. But anyway, that was one part of my life that led to the show. In 2008, there was a writer's strike. I don't know if you remember it or not, but
mm-hmm.
the writers
I do.
Were all TV. Yeah, they do. They just shut down and said, you know, hey, we're done writing until we get what we want. And so being an actor, that put a little kink in the armor, if you will. And so we thought, well, gosh, what do we do? So I actually was back home visiting my folks just a year before. And my sister had, she had rescued a male boxer that had been running north of our hometown. Put it in the backyard, was waiting for the rescue group to come. Well, of course, she had a female boxer at the time. The rescue group comes and picks up the dog, and months later, she has a handful of puppy boxers and can't figure out why. But we had the talk. I said, I have nephews, your children, you know how these puppies came about, so it's not a secret. And I was home for Christmas that holiday, and I thought, gosh, you know what? I could take one of these. You know, I could have a little companion in Los Angeles. And so I picked out the one that was kind of off to the side, being really calm and relaxed. And I said, you know what? That's the one right there. I'll take him. You know, he seems like the one that would lay next to me and watch football on Sundays and sleep in and all those great things that we imagine a dog to be. And, of course, got him back to Los Angeles, and it wasn't weeks later that the little guy was bouncing off the wall, getting into the trash, running out into the street. So we got off on, I wouldn't say the wrong foot, but a different foot than I had anticipated when I first got Presley.
Oh, I can imagine, because you don't know.
Yeah.
When they're a puppy, they're still, I mean, they're like humans, right? Where you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what they're going to turn into. And it's a beautiful mystery.
It really is. And it's such, you know, I mean, I always talk about learning experiences. But when I was at the time, I kept thinking, what did I just do? You know, I just adopted like a child and what, I don't know what to do with it. I mean, it was really one of those moments of feeling lost and trying to work my way through what's right and what's wrong on my own, and had never felt more lost in my life, you know. And so that was kind of the beginning of a life-changing event for me, you know, having Presley.
Yeah, and okay, so my first question for you regarding the whole financial aspect of this is, were there any shocks to you regarding the expense of having this wonderful new being in your life?
Sure. Well, there's so many choices to be made, you know, when you have a dog. And I think everything, you know, can be broken down to, well, if you break it down. So I guess to back up, the problem I made was I want the best for my dog. You know, so I go out and living in Los Angeles, you know, I could go to, you know, a retail store and get a dog bed for $30. Or I could go to the Beverly Center and buy a dog bed for $380.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? You know, one says it's made out of all leather, and, you know, it has the bells and whistles. But I think it really comes down to, you know, to believe it or not, making an actual budget, you know, not like you just do for yourself, but for actually what you're going to spend on your pet. Because a lot of owners nowadays look at their pet as an outlet. It makes them feel happy to buy things for their pet. And one of the main reasons is because, you know, pets love us always. They don't hold grudges. They don't judge us. You know, so we have a release when we buy them nice and expensive things. And unfortunately, when that happens, we don't tend to track those expenses.
That is perfect advice. For anybody who is even considering getting an animal, is that you do have to incorporate those costs into your budget. So, hey, everybody, we are talking to the amazing Travis Brorson, who is the current title holder of CBS's dog training competition, Greatest American Dog. This man knows dogs, and he knows the expenses. So I want everybody to listen up, because there are quite a number of different financial outlays involved when it comes to having a dog, that they can wreck a person's budget. I have seen it over and over again. I get a lot of calls and emails and texts from people who say, I just got a $5,000 vet bill. What am I supposed to do? And it can be a nasty, nasty shock. And you have to navigate those. So now let's go a little bit of flip side here and talk about the benefits of owning a dog, because obviously there are some costs involved, but what do you believe will enhance a person's life about dog ownership? And by the way,
sure,
how do you feel about the terminology here, the whole ownership? Are you okay with that? Do you prefer companion, guardian? Here, I'm in San Francisco. We're all guardians.
Yes, I like that, actually. And I had never had anybody – you're the first to ask me that question as far as the ownership goes. You know, all in the eyes of the beholder, you know, when it comes
right
to that, when I hear a dog owner, I don't think, oh, my gosh, you know, like on Game of Thrones where they have these, you know, people who are in charge and they have all these slaves. You know what I mean? My mind doesn't go to that.
Yes.
My mind really goes to, you know, what is the purpose that you have the dog, and what's your relationship with the dog? But I like the guardian. I like that. I think we should start using that. Maybe you should get a trademark or patent on that, Erica.
Yeah, right.
I'll
get right on. But the thing is that it kind of leads into that mentality of, well, if I'm a guardian, that means I need to guard. I need to take care of. It's not just owning something and then when you're sick of it, you throw it away, or it's, you know, it's a piece of property. You're
right,
guarding this this
you're,
being,
you're guarding.
And it has incredible responsibility
it
with it.
Absolutely, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. The guardian, you know, brings on a responsibility, and so
right,
when we do consults with new owners, or actually owners that are thinking about getting a dog, you know, it is very important for me, because I love working with the dogs, but I love even more working with the people. You know, being on this show and having Presley changed my life because of the relationship I built with Presley. And if the relationships and the training and the structures and the boundaries and the rules that we set for, you know, our pets, if they're done in the right way, then they actually build those relationships that are built around, you know, trust and respect, you know, which are key building blocks to any friendship, you know, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's within a family structure. But I think it relates really well to pets. So to get back to your question, you know, as far as why would we want to have a pet? Well, I think one of the most popular ones, and you probably hear this all the time, but it's for companionship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I mentioned before, you know, people always say, I feel bad when I leave my dog, you know, and I say, okay, well, have you ever run to the store for 5 minutes? Oh, yeah, yeah. And I said, how does your dog react when you get home? And they're like, oh, my gosh, they're so excited. Like, they act like they hadn't seen me in 10 years. You know, and I said, okay, what happens when you go on I said, what happens when you go on vacation for a week and come home? And they go, my dog acts like they haven't seen me in 10 years. That's right. You know, you don't come home and they go, Mom, you were gone a really long time this time. I'm really upset with you. You know, they just don't have that mentality. And, of course, through human terms, that's, you know, what we call unconditional love. And so I think, you know, companionship, but also, you know, Erica, there's so much research on how they enhance our mental health and our wellness in our daily lives. So, you know, those are kind of the key points that I visit with new owners about when they're thinking about getting a pet.
Yes. And I mean, I totally agree with you. What drives me nuts is when people do get animals, especially dogs, because dogs need to be out and about. They need to go outside and have some interaction. And, you know, when I know that there are people around me, and actually just anywhere, I don't even care where it is, who aren't taking full responsibility and treating their animals well, it's, you know, I almost have to purge that from my brain because it's too painful. And there are things that you need to do and take into consideration, and maybe there are costs involved. And so can you tell me, just kind of give a basic rundown about, look, if you're considering adding this amazing living thing into your home, into your life, what are some considerations?
Sure. You know, right off the bat, just to hit some of the basics, you know, you have to look at, you know, food, toys, treats. You know, on food, you could spend anywhere from, you know, $100 to $500 a year just on food alone. The toys and the treats, that's like anything else. You know, you buy toys and treats for your children, for your family members. You know, how do you do that? Are you budgeting for that? Do you have the extra spending cash for that? If you do, great. If not, just remember that toys and treats are really for the owner, or we want to say for the guardian. You know, that it actually helps the owner, the guardian, with the way they feel in giving these things. The dog doesn't wake up on day two and say, I'm so mad at you. You didn't give me the toys and treats you gave me the day before. You know, pets, dogs especially, it's just being around, you know, their guardian, their loved one, that makes them happy. So for those that don't go out and shower their dogs with all these things just to help them feel a little bit better about that. But another thing is traveling. You know, do you travel a lot? If you do, are you going to take your dog? And if you're not, well, where's he going to go? Are you going to hire a pet sitter? You know, what's that going to cost? Depending on where you live, anywhere from $30, $40 a night, all the way up to $250 a night to have somebody stay in your home and watch your dog. Are you going to board it? Okay, well, boarding is fine. There's a lot of daycares, this and that. But if you leave, can you enjoy your vacation knowing your dog is, you know, being boarded at a facility? Some can, some might not, but something to think about. And then the two last things are equipment, you know, collars, leashes, bowls, beds, crate. You know, a lot of those are one-time, you know, costs. You will replace some of them. But anywhere from $150 to $300, you know, right out of the gate just to prepare yourself to bring the dog into your home. And then training, you know, yeah. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I really hope that those figures and that list makes people pause. Get it?
Yes.
before they pull the trigger and say, yeah, I'm gonna do this, because it's not free and it's not even cheap. And you can do it at a budget that you can afford, but there is going to be some sort of outlay. I am talking to celebrity dog trainer Travis Burrison, founder of Greatest American Dog Trainers. Definitely check him out online, greatestamericandogtrainers.com. So let's go back to the expenses, because the show Adventures with Money is all about how people can live a fascinating, amazing life, no matter how much they earn, owe, or own. And that does mean money. So we did talk a little bit about the various expenses that go into dog ownership. But when it comes to veterinary care, and I say that with a laugh only because I have spent a ridiculous amount of money, just like almost everybody has if you've got a pet, for aging pets. You really are faced with this crazy decision sometimes. It's crazy because it feels like there are no good solutions. Do you keep pumping money into a veterinarian when you don't know if your animal is going to live or die, and how much you're going to expend? What are you willing to pay? Can you navigate that for us about what the end of life and where do you say no? Where do you say yes? Can you give any information on that?
Absolutely. You know, with pets and dogs in particular, because that's where I kind of specialize. And when we work with owners who have, you know, senior citizen dogs, and they have, you know, different problems. Maybe they have cancer. Maybe they have hip dysplasia. Maybe they, you know, have a tumor somewhere, and the vets will give them medicine to, you know, take away the pain, to help them move better. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to an owner, you know, and the veterinarian working together to know, well, what is the daily life for the dog? Is the dog enjoying its daily life? Is it able to do the things it used to? Is it still in pain? And, you know, when we lost Presley to cancer, I noticed, you know, even pet insurance, which we hadn't touched on, and maybe we were going to get there, but...
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But, you know, when you have a dog, a pet that you're connected to, you get to a point where, you know, having a financial advisor or planner, somebody from the outside looking in, can be very helpful, because it's like a family member, and you get to a point where you say, I don't care what it costs. I'll do anything, you know, and I see people do that every day, and some of them, you know, they can afford it. Others, they can't, but they feel that that's the only way and that's the only option. And at the end of the day, all the pets want from us is for us to love them and take care of them and do what's in their best interest. And sometimes spending that extra $3,000 to $5,000 for the cancer treatment for something that's terminal and inevitable may not be the best choice, as hard as it might be.
So would you say then rely, and this is a tough one, because I said rely on your veterinarian's recommendations, but they're not always willing to give that, because it's such a personal choice.
No, that's right. That's right. And I would actually say most vets with experience will not make that choice for you.
Right.
You know, they will give you, they will lay it out for you. Here's what you're looking at. Here's your options. You know, go home, discuss with your family, or you know, if you're religious, pray about it. You know, whatever you need to do. But the decision has to be the owner's, because if they don't, if the vet tells you one thing and you do it, and you regret it for the rest of your life. You know, it has to be a decision that you make on your own so you can live with it. But in my experience, for owners who haven't lost, you know, one of their first pets yet, is that you will know. You know, trust your gut. You will know. You know, your pets will tell you.
Well, yes. When you're very, very emotional, which you will be, it's very tough. So when we had to put our cat Nigel down, he had cancer. He had brain. He had a tumor on his brain. But that didn't stop me from thinking, oh well, maybe we could just try. And you really have got to be talked down by people who've been through it. So I think you would probably agree is find somebody who's been through it. Right? It's not going to be your vet who talks you through it. It's not going to be maybe somebody who you live with, because they're going through the same agony. but maybe somebody who is a friend who had a pet and that they did have to put down, or they kind of had to negotiate all of this, right?
That's right, absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly what I did, Erica. I went online, I researched, I read blogs, similar to, how you have a fantastic blog going with money, other people do it with, losing pets, and I read stories, and of course, with me being a Christian, I prayed about it, and I just really had to feel at peace, and my wife and I talked about it over and over again, and it's just one of those things that you have to make it the decision together as a family, and we also have to understand that pets are put in our lives. There's a reason they don't live as long as we do. They're here to teach us life lessons, and loss is one of the true, things about love that makes it so wonderful.
Oh, I think that's a beautiful way of putting it. Travis, thank you so much. Now because that's actually a really great way of explaining it. Let's now cover a little bit about pet insurance, because people ask me this all the time. Should I get it? I'm like, well, it depends. And I hate giving that response, the whole it depends response. But what is your take on pet insurance?
Sure. Well, like any insurance, it's just so important to understand what the insurance covers. And then also to go beyond that is, does your veterinarian take the insurance that you're looking at? So first and foremost, I encourage people to go to the vet they're either already using or that's near them that they want to use, and ask them, what insurance, companies do you recommend or do you take? Because you're probably not going to drive two towns away just to apply some insurance. So that would be the first step I would take. And then whatever options they give you, then looking and seeing what that's going to cover for you. There's some that will cover long-term stuff that you might pay a little more, and there's some that, don't cover the big things but cover a lot of the little things. And I think, it comes down to, your budget and what you're able to spend. But, in my experience, I obviously fell in love with Presley. He had got lymphoma cancer. We live in New York City, so we did – we did chemotherapy for 6 months, no insurance, and spent probably more than $6,000.
Yeah.
We don't make that kind of money.
Yep.
But I was in the boat of money doesn't matter. What can I do for my dog? And it was also a way of me feeling like I was showing how much I loved him and how much I appreciated him. And because I was so close to it, it may not have been the right choice. He lived 6 more months. I might have gotten another month out of it, but it didn't change the way he felt, and it didn't change, the outcome. So, but all that to go back to insurance, had I had insurance, gosh, that sure would have been nice in that situation.
Right. Okay, so I want to implore all the potential dog owners out there, yes, bring on a pet. If it's going to enhance your life, it will. This furry creature will. But please, please do the financial aspect of this first. Go through your budget. Consider the fact that you may have a huge expense, like $1,000 to $10,000 sometimes, on emergency vet care throughout the lifespan of your dog. You need to consider it. And it's not just food. It's not just shelter. It's emergency and end-of-life care. So, on that note, Travis, it was absolutely fantastic talking to you. I really appreciate it. Where do you think that people should go to learn more about you besides your website? Or if it's just your website, then that's it.
Yeah, Erica. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed visiting with you. And the website is the best place to get a hold of us. Through our website, you can find links to different videos, other trainers that I've worked with, and topics that they cover that I may have not touched on yet. But definitely greatestamericandogtrainers.com is the place to go.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Hey, and everybody out there, Adventures with Money, have an amazing week. And don't get a dog without checking out how much it's going to cost first and being okay with it. All right. See you next time.